My name is Jane Kiden Jackson. I work for Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare as Deputy Director for Women, Peace and Security.
And my name is Viola Riak. I'm the Gender Analyst for United Nations Population Fund.
Yes, welcome once again to Muraya Breakfast. So we understand that this is the second day of 16 days of activism. What can you tell us about this, Jane?
16 days of activism is one of the strategies that we look at, looking at campaigns to end gender-based violence all over the world. And South Sudan, as a country, is also celebrating 16 days of activism to create an awareness to all the communities, the citizens within South Sudan, to see that gender-based violence is a human rights violation. And within the 16 days of activism, there are several activities that are conducted with our partners, with the government, to ensure that the message reaches to the wider community in South Sudan.
We have had so many stories of women abused and children killed, as was the case in Elect recently. Where a man killed his own children, what really is the key driver to this issue?
The main contributing factor of gender-based violence in South Sudan is the wide gender inequalities that exist in the country, where men and women are not at the equal level. The power level is disproportionate, proportionate, and so when issues don't go right between families, you find that a man uses his power to violate his wife. And I must say that one of the biggest, the highest type of GVV in South Sudan remains the physical assault. And this, in other terms, they're called domestic violence, which tops in South Sudan. About 50% of cases reported at all the services are domestic violence. And this is where a man uses his power to beat his wife. And you know, traditionally, some of these things were accepted in our culture in South Sudan. In some places, they see as it's not a problem, but we are here to say that it's a human rights violation. You don't have to beat your wife or to fight. You can have peaceful means to resolving your issues in at your family level.
Yes, we understand, as you mentioned, Viola, that this it's been accepted from the community in South Sudan. Mm. That means this is a long history of this violence against women and girls. Do you think there's a mindset of South Sudanese during the culture, a long years of the culture, how the South Sudanese can forget and say this is a human right, we should stop this violence against women? How do you think that this can be end?
I think we need to embark on awareness, massive awareness, and tell our communities and our society that some of these things need to change along the way. Just because we did it in the past, it doesn't have to be the norm in the current where human rights have been are being accepted. South Sudan has signed a number of treaties in protecting the rights of women and girls and dignity of everyone. So just because we did it in the past, we have to change. So we need to talk to many people, and it's a campaign that all of us have to join in. It takes men, women, boys and girls and community to be able to end this norm and break it, break the barrier. So it still remains out there that and it's okay for a man to beat his wife. It's okay for a man to marry off his 16 or 17 year old girl. Mm-hmm. And the reason why 16 days we're doing this campaign this year is to tell our people that the norm has to change. Mm-hmm. This is a human rights violation, and we have to change and find peaceful ways to move ahead.
This question is going to Jane, as you are from the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. Mm-hmm. Of course, in terms of the roles of the Ministry of Gender, what roles are you playing, especially in ending the sexual gender-based violence, of course, one? And can you pinpoint for us the picture of gender-based violence situation in the country, especially in South Sudan?
Thank you. Gender-based violence in South Sudan is very rampant. According to our information system, management system information, 65% of women and girls are experiencing gender-based violence. And the reported cases, 95% are women and girls. And that one is, when you go to the POCs, when you go to the hospital, you will get this information. 95% of women and girls are the one experiencing gender-based violence. And as my colleague have said, the root causes are our cultures and traditions. They accept some of the violations. And this one, we need to go down to the root causes if we want to ensure that gender-based violence is eradicated in South Sudan. And as Ministry of Gender, our role is to develop policies and strategies that will ensure that gender-based violence is eradicated in South Sudan. And at the national level, we work mostly on the policies, and going down to the grassroots, when we have our ministry at a state level, and that is Minister of Gender and Social Development. We have civil society organizations. We have other NGOs that are working in ensuring that gender-based violence is eradicated through awareness programs, through support to the survivors. These are some of the things that the ministry is doing. And we do a lot in advocacy to ensure that. In addition to how we can ensure that gender-based violence is eradicated in South Sudan, apart from the rule, from the cultures, our laws are enforced. We have the laws, mm-hmm. but they are not functioning. So we are trying as ministry with the our line ministries, Ministry of Interior, Ministry of Justice, to see that any violation has to take a cost.
Of course, just briefly, you said that you wanted the rule of law has to be enforced as the ministry is embarking on it. Mm. Is there any statistical number that you can tell us as whether the sexual gender-based violence in the country has been taken into account? For instance, the rule of law has been taken into consideration?
I don't have specific number, but in our discussion with the Minister of Justice, The information they're giving us that there's less people are not reporting. Mm. The law is there. They can enforce it, but there is silence of reporting. So they don't have a good number that are coming out. Although when we go to our system, we see that there's a number of people getting services, but they end up in the medical services and social psychosocial support. They don't reach to the legal.
In brief, of course, you said the cases of this sex or gender-based violence are very rampant in South Sudan, and mm. you cited 65% of it, mm. and 95% are women and girls. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us as to whether these percentages has reduced according to you? You said you have some policies, and you also have you are sensitizing people on the grassroots level.
Mm. Yes. Looking into this, it's still... gender-based violence is still rampant. I cannot say that it is reducing, mm-hmm. but there are people getting this information. Like, if you take an example of sending girls to school, we are seeing that there's a good number of enrollment of children to school. Mm-hmm. And we also see that women are allowed to move. We see also that children are not getting this corporal punishment. This is part of gender-based violence. Even within the houses, we see that women, the family now involve children in discussion. They don't beat children like previously they do. And, issues of forced marriages is still there in other communities, but in other communities, it is not longer there.
Okay. Now let's go to Viola. Viola, as you again mentioned that the gender-based violence is very high in South Sudan, that the percentage that she talked about, do you think that how we can control the gender-based violence in South Sudan, and what are the challenges ahead of you that's working with this campaign?
I think the challenges are many, but we need to accept that this is something that can be changed, and we need to put our efforts together. There are about four services that survivors of gender-based violence need to have. One is if it is a case of sexual violence, this is what we call clinical management of rape. We need to be able to treat the survivor. We need to have the survivor council to be able to integrate her into the society. And we also need protection. This survivor need to be protected. And at the end is the legal services that Jane has just mentioned. For us to ensure that these four services are there, let's put our efforts in preventing gender-based violence from happening in the first place. If we can prevent this from happening, and how do we prevent it? We need to embark on massive awareness. Mm-hmm. We are urging our communities, men and boys and women, that this is unacceptable practice that we need to leave behind and find peaceful ways in resolving this. We are all partners. For couples, your partners in life, this is a mother of your children, find a peaceful mean in resolving these issues. To parents outside there, let your child go to school, both men, both boys and girls. And then once they finish their education, they can marry at a later age, but don't send your girls to marriage when they're still under the age of 18. So we need, after creating awareness and community and our society accepting that this is not acceptable, can we prevent this? But you know that gender-based violence is not only happening in South Sudan. It's a global issue. Mm-hmm. Even where people are developing, in developing countries, it's still going to happen. So when it happens, we need to ensure that these survivors get those four services I've just talked about.
The question of reporting, because Jen has mentioned that there's a problem of reporting. Do you have a certain mechanism that if the violence happened anywhere in South Sudan could be reported? Do you have a certain set of that for reporting?
Yes, so you can either report through a police station or you can report to a community leader, or you can go directly to a hospital or a clinic. So these reporting mechanisms are there. The problem is when these women and girls have been violated, they are shy to speak out. So I'm using this opportunity to urge our women and girls that this is a violation. So when something like this happened to you, please seek help. Don't remain quiet, because the moment you remain silent, you're going to suffer in silence. There are consequences of gender-based violence. If it is a sexual violence, of course, you can be pregnant, and there's nothing bad as being pregnant with a child whose father you don't know. Mm. Or you're going to contract sexual transmitted diseases, or you're even going to be traumatized or physically harmed if it is a case of domestic violence. So please speak out to someone, either to a community leader or to police, or report the cases to hospitals, and you'll be able to be supported. And please, when somebody on a survivor of gender-based violence speak to you, don't question them, believe them. Because it takes a lot of courage for this child, for this girl, or for this woman to report in the first place. Yeah. So when they report to you, believe them. You have to believe them and support them fully so that they are able to access the services that are available.
Jen, I think just you want to add.
Yes, yeah, yes, just welcome. To add into what my colleague Viola has said, the Ministry of Gender, together with Ministry of Interior, have established special protection units at all the police stations. And this is to address issues of gender-based violence. In that police station, you will find a police who is well-trained to investigate or to gather the information that will be used in justice. And we have a social worker there that will help in psychosocial support. We are also looking at if you look at most of the perpetrators, they are male, so we are looking at targeting the male more than the women, because they are the perpetrators. So when we go to the communities, we find that the chiefs, most of them are male. So we are trying our best to see that chiefs are more involved in awareness raising on gender-based violence issues, and also to the community at large. If you see your neighbor being violated, you need to report. So we are looking widely, not only, because if you look at gender-based violence, people look at it as, this is a woman issue, this is a girl issue. The blames goes more to women and girls, especially with our socialization nowadays. Mm-hmm. When you see a girl dressed in a mini skirt, it's like she's welcoming a man. So this is not correct. Yeah. It's not correct. Yeah. So we are trying to see that men and boys have to understand that this is a violation of human rights.
Viola, this brings us to the question, what is your organization, UNFPA, actually is doing in terms of supporting the Ministry of Gender to address the root causes of the sexual gender-based cases in the country?
Okay, so for us at UNFPA, we support both the Ministry of Gender and Ministry of Health. And in first, we look at enabling environment for protection and women, for protection of women and girls in South Sudan. So we support them mainly on policies. And so far, we supported the Ministry of Gender to develop standard operation procedures on GVV. This clearly states the role of the Ministry of Gender, the role of Ministry of Health, the role of Ministry of Interior in prevention and response to gender-based violence. We have also recently supported the Ministry of Health to develop what we call clinical management of rape protocol. These are protocols put in place to support our clinical officers, the doctors, the nurse, to be able to administer treatment for those who have experienced sexual violence. I'm also happy to announce that UNFPA led the development of UN, United Nations joint program with the government of South Sudan on GVV. And this joint program look at approaching GVV in an integrated approach, putting in place services like protection, legal mechanism, safety, psychosocial support for the survivors, and the whole prevention as at large.
Jane, now the question is, of course, as the 16 days of activism is not just about women. It's also about men as well. Do we need, for instance, a paradigm shift in the perspective perspectives of the issues of gender-based violence?
Yeah, I think I've mentioned some of that. That yes, we need it, and that's why we are looking at how can we involve male into the issue itself, mm-hmm. because involving men, it means they have also to take control over advocating on GVV. They have to support women not to be violated. They have to look at, for example, their daughters as well as their sons, are all their children. We don't, because there are also men who are violated, but also they don't report. We want also to urge them that they have also to report the violation that women are doing to them or other men are also doing to them, you know. So we need it because it is very important. As a country, as citizens, we have all equal rights.
Okay, now this question is going back to Viola. What else is the UNFPA doing for sexual gender-based survivors?
Okay, so UNFPA recently supported, again, the Ministry of Gender and Child and Social Welfare. And we're looking at gender-based violence in two ways. One is the actual prevention. So we need to, if we invest more in reducing these cases, we'll have few to be able to provide services. But ensuring that services are there, we recently have enrolled out what we call one-stop center for gender-based violence services. So far, we have one at Juba Teaching Hospital, and we have one in Malwalkon. We have one in Rumbek, and recently we've just established one center at WOW. This center provides three services mainly. One is clinical management of rape in preventing STIs, in preventing pregnancy and sexual transmission diseases. We also provide psychosocial support and legal services. Our legal counselors at Juba Teaching Hospital have supported many survivors at court. So far, they have through that support, two cases have already been convicted. Mm-hmm. And we have about 30-something cases in the court, which our legal counselors are following. So these centers exist, and so many other primary care unit that UNFPA has trained the medical personnel on how to manage survivors of gender-based violence, especially with rape cases.
Just again, we have come to an end. But what could be your last message, especially for 16 days of activism?
Okay, I have to say that we are celebrating this day in South Sudan, and we are doing it. We are commemorating it on the 27th. That will be Tuesday tomorrow, and under the theme "Make Peace Count." Stop gender-based violence against women and girls. What do we mean by that? In the revitalized peace agreement that we are hoping that it will be sustainable, we need all people to ensure that human rights is a women's rights also. That we need to look at peace processes. We need to look at women participation in the peace process. If they have peace within, then their involvement, their participation in the peace process will contribute a lot to this country. And we will have our girls in schools without dropping them out with early marriages, forced marriages. And we will have a human resource in this country that will make the country to be the peace to be sustained, and then development will prosper. So my message to all the people in South Sudan that let us all come, let us all participate in this campaign. The launching will be tomorrow, and we will continue with the messages until the 10th. We will have messages throughout the 16 days of activism. I welcome everyone tomorrow to be in Nyakuran Cultural Center.
Viola?
And yeah, taking this opportunity to invite everyone tomorrow, especially our male champions, please men, and those who believe in gender equality, those who believe in the that their power is meant to protect the weak and the vulnerable in the society, please stand out tomorrow and join us at Nyakuran Cultural Center as we commemorate 16 days of activism. It will be good if actually our male partners are the one championing this and speaking on our behalf. So male involvement is a key. So to our communities, I think time has come that we have to move together. And moving together will mean that we have to respect each other. We don't have to violate each other's rights. Mm-hmm. And together we can take South Sudan to the next level.
Right. Thank you. That was Viola Riak from the UN and UNFPA, and also Jane Kiden from the Ministry of Gender Social Welfare. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
Have a good day too.